Our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in their rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, in your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it to the eagerness of those other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not to what you don't have. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I wonder if you have ever been blessed, you've ever been fortunate enough to be blessed by somebody else's generosity. I wonder through somebody's talent, somebody giving their talent to you, I wonder through somebody giving their time to you, or indefinitely giving their treasure to you, whether you have been blessed or not. Through somebody's generosity, your life has changed and gone a completely different direction. My name is Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here, and I am so thankful. I am thankful for your time that you put into your church. I'm so thankful for your treasure that you place into this church. And I'm thankful for all of the talent just in this room right now and online watching today. And I'm thankful for people who have given me their time. I'm thankful for people who have given me their talents and poured into me things that I didn't have. And I'm thankful for people's treasure. And I was blessed by somebody who was poor. I learned about generosity a long time ago when I was a teenager growing up in England. In fact, I was younger than a teenager. I was probably around 10 or 11, those tween years. My mother and I, we would live in a small apartment, a flat in the north of England. And in that little apartment, every night we'd have our dinner. And, you know, back when the day you ate dinner at 6 o'clock every night, there was four plates on the table that we take to our table and we eat together. And there was a guy that lived downstairs from us. His name was George, and he lived in another building. And we learned about George, and we'd see him walking to the shop every day with his dog Spot, and he'd get the newspaper. And my mother learned that George didn't have a lot of things. He was poor. George was poor, and we realized he didn't have any family. He didn't have any people that could pour his time, his talents, and treasures into. So my mother started to make a fifth plate every night. And one of us, my brother and I, we would make sure that the plate would be taken down to George's house. And he'd come to the door and he'd be very humble and he would say, thank you, thank you. And he'd take the plate and eat it by himself. And over the years, we keep doing this. And unfortunately, Spot passed away and we were sad for him. And then George's health started to go down. George's health started to go down and we realized there was nobody else in his life that was going to be there for him. So my mother kind of adopted him, took him to his hospital's appointments, took him to the hospital when the cancer started to take over his body. And we were at his bedside, and mother made sure he had a decent funeral. And that wasn't really the lesson that I learned. It was the one after he died when mother finally told me something that happened to her one night. We realized that we went in his house. He had nothing on the floor, by the way, in his house. He had a little chair for himself and one of those fold-up tables, you know, to watch the TV that he had. And mother said to me that one night he knocked on our door. He knocked on our door and with a box, a shoebox. And he said to my mother, Gina, my mother's name, I want you to have this. And inside the box was a load of money. It's like £300 or $500. He says, I want you to have this. This is my life savings. And mom says, I can't take that. I can't take that off you, George. You don't have anything. Gina, you have changed my life. I want you to have this. You have saved my life. And at that time, my mother and father were going through something. My father had no work, and he needed some help financially. And that taught me something that I will never forget. The ancient old adage given by Jesus, it is far better to give than to. Paul, the apostle Paul, the one responsible for communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean, the one that took it from the Damascus Road and took it to all the people, all of the Gentiles around Greece and around Macedonia, was writing to Corinth. And this is where we are today with the scripture that Mark read to you. This is where we're going to go. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you've got a Bible with you, there's one in the front there. You want to open it. And we're going to show you the words on the screen too. If you want to look in your app and mark it for later, you can do that now. We're in 2 Corinthians. It's the letter to Corinth, the second one. There's two of them, one and two. The second one, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're online, you've got time to look that up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where Paul is, and he's talking about generosity. Verse 1 and 2, what Mark read to us says this. It says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So that's the intro. Paul was up in Macedonia, which is the north of Greece, and he was witnessing the growth of the church there. He was in the north of Macedonia, and he was writing down, this is about 55 AD, and he's writing to his other church in Corinth, one of the most international places in the world at that time. And he's basically telling them, hey, you want to see what I've seen up here in Macedonia? You want to see the joy that's been going on out of this church? You want to see this. You want to hear about this. I'm writing to you about it. I mean, they're being tested through many things. They've been through a lot of differing epidemics. They've been through lots of trials. They haven't been through a pandemic just yet. But they're going through troubles, and they're very poor. They're like George. In fact, I've renamed George to Saint George, by the way. They're like George, they're poor, but he says, even though they're poor, they are filled with abundant what? Joy. Even though they're poor, I am witnessing abundant joy. And it overflows from their rich generosity. This church is generous, he says. You want to see these people at work. And they've been through some tough stuff. They've been through some epidemics in their time up in Macedonia. But I'm writing to you, Corinth in the south, because you, this is an example of the kind of church and the kind of generosity. It'd be like us comparing ourselves to another church up the street. Then he says, "For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." So he says, you can't believe it being around them. Now Paul is collecting with Jerusalem. He's making sure the ties with Jerusalem, with the new churches. These churches are about 20 to 30 years old, just not long after Jesus has died and resurrected. These churches are brand new, and they're needing a bit of refreshing even after 20 years. He said, and so he's collecting for Jerusalem, but he's saying that these people give more than this. They give more than out of what they don't have, and they give joyously. In fact, they beg that they could be part of something bigger, even though they're poor. And not only that, they gave themselves to the Lord first. This is really key. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us. So they were receiving of us, and they gave themselves to the Lord. So we have urged Titus, this is verse 6. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel in the gracious act of giving. So Paul sends his trainee pastor, he sends his mentee, he sends his young Padawan, if you like, down to Corinth to tell him, "Hey, I'm collecting for Jerusalem, you got Paul's letter, I'm going to bring some more people with you." And he sent a group of other elders with him down to Corinth. "I'm going to send these guys to you, and you're going to finish the ministry from which you started when you were strong and thriving church. In fact, I remember being there in Corinth," says Paul. "I remember there, and you excel. You excel in some places. You excel in having great speakers, great preachers. Your knowledge is really good. You're really good with your enthusiasm, and your love for us is just the same as your love for the Lord." So they had excellence in Christian development. They had a continuous focus on the future. They had a commitment to missions. They were passionate in their participation, but they were lacking one thing. What was it? Should know by now. What was it? Open-hearted generosity. So if giving was a ladder in Macedonia, if giving was a ladder in Corinth, if giving was a ladder for you here at Palm Harbor and for you personally, where would you be? This comes from Nelson Searcy's book, The Giving Ladder, by the way. If giving were a ladder, would you be on this rung? Would you have heard somewhere that giving is really important? In fact, it's good for your life, and you probably should, and everybody else does it, so it's good. I know, maybe you went to a class and they said, give 10%, save 10%, and use 80% for yourself. Maybe somebody said, "Oh, you gotta give. You gotta give because God's gonna strike you with lightning, and if you don't give, you're never gonna have a good life." Maybe you've grown up and you're like my friend in my first church, John, who had been given for a long time, and he was very faithful. But I went over to see his wife, his dying wife, and I prayed with him. And on the way out, he says, "Wait, stop." He says, "I got to give you this." And he gives me his check that he normally didn't. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I got to give you that. I can't stiff arm God." And this kind of giving is giving out of fear. Giving out of fear. Now, maybe you're not on that step. Maybe you're on the next step. Maybe you've been given a while and you've been given 10% for all your life. Maybe you know this is brought up for you. You were brought up like this. You knew this is the right way to go. Maybe you heard Jesus teaching on tithing when he spoke to the Pharisees. And he said, yeah, you guys give. You give your 10%. You give 10% on mint and cumin. You separate the 10% from these two things. But you neglect the greater things, he says to them. In Matthew 23, he says to them, you swallow a gnat, but you break this gnat up in little pieces, but you swallow a camel. You neglect the greater things. You neglect justice and mercy. And this kind of giving that the Pharisees did in Leviticus, and maybe you might be there, and Corinth might be there, is giving out of duty. Oh, I got to do that. I just got to do that. Not a freeing place to be giving. Maybe in Corinth they were on the next step. Maybe you grew up and your family, they gave to your organization, the organization that you were proudly brought up in. They gave to your organization that was the college, the institution that you were so passionate about, the vision of that leader. That leader said, here, you give us this money and I'll show you how I put it to work. And you knew that this is the best way for the vision. You trusted the visionary leader. And we have a vision here at Palm Harbor, and you know it, and help me at the top of the ladder here, yeah. Our vision here at Palm Harbor is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's our vision. And we do that through open-hearted generosity. We do it through excellence in Christian development. We do it through having a continuous focus on the future. We do it through being committed to missions. And we do it, what? Passionately. But the problem with giving to just the vision is that it's dependent on the visionary leader. It's dependent on a person, normally. Now, this person could probably fall off of this ladder here and hit my head on the altar, and then hopefully there's a pastor in the house, and you guys could probably do my funeral or something. But you see, the visionary goes away. The visionary goes away, and you're not sure what you're giving to anymore. No, the kind of giving that we need to see, the kind of giving that was in Macedonia, the kind of giving that freed people to do ministry, that freed people to be people who are passionate, to be people who are open-hearted in their generosity. We're people who were giving out of joy. The people in Macedonia were poor. The people the person who I seen when I was growing up, George, he was poor. St. George was poor and he had nothing. He's taught me an eternal lesson. He taught my mother an eternal lesson that to give is to give out of joy. And it is here where we flourish. It is here where the church flourishes in giving out of joy. Does Palm Harbor want to be a place that gives out of joy? Say amen. Amen. And help me get down the ladder here. Clearly, maybe you give out of vision. Maybe you give to a person or an institution, the church, because you see the vision. Maybe you give out of duty. You think you should? Everybody else is doing it. All the cool kids are doing it. Clearly, these are ways to give, but generally, especially, we're giving out of fear. They're not good for our heart. None of these, says Paul, none of these are commandments. Back to the Bible. Verse 8 says, I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine love is by comparison with the eagerness of other churches. So these aren't commandments. He says, I am not commanding you to do this. Boy, I want you to be eager. That word there is promethea. Promethea, it means eagerness, willingness, a readiness to give. Are you eager? Are you willing? Are you ready to see Palm Harbor rebooted and to be the church of Jesus Christ in Palm Harbor? Say amen. Amen. He says, I want you to see you eager again. I want to see you the type of people that are on fire because you are giving joyfully. The next verse says, you know the gracious gift. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became so that by poverty he could make you rich. Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who was and is to come, the one in the beginning, the one who came to earth, who became nothing, died on the death machine of the day, and became poor for us so that we could have life. So we could be rich. Here is my advice, says Paul to Corinth, his dear church. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in the proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable. Give it eagerly. There's that word again, prometheia, eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Apparently, the church in Corinth started off real well. First couple of years, 10 years, 15 years, going real strong. And for some reason, the spiritual ebb and flow of the church went down. Maybe it was something that happened in the community. Maybe it was just a disease that went around the community. Maybe it was a national epidemic. Maybe it was a pandemic that disturbed the church. Maybe there was an exchange in leadership over a couple of years that rocked the church bed. He says, I know you're eager to get back to what you did so long ago. Last year, I remember everyone was talking about you, he said. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to that, he says, because you guys are going to know, experience joy like never before. Notice the verse 13 that Mark didn't read for us, but it's perfect to end on. It says, of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for you or for others and not for yourselves. I'll say it again. I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. My wife and I, by the way, have been giving for years, and we used to be just here. Now we're kind of here in between here, and I've realized that giving here is so much more fun, and giving back to people, students, children I knew when they were younger, and giving to them gives me so much joy to see them excel. It's constant in our lives. And the challenge is clear. The challenge and question is clear. Do you want to know joy like Macedonia? Two people do. That's good. Do you want to know joy like Macedonia? Amen. Amen. Today, I want you to experience joy like you've never before. Some of you have been giving to this church regardless what epidemic, what pandemic has gone through over these last 2 years. Regardless of what leadership changes have changed, regardless of what's happened in the community, regardless who's sitting next to you in the seat right now, you have given. Thank you. I am thankful for you. The church is thankful for you. It doesn't matter whether you've given online or whether you've given in the plate that goes around or whether you put them in the boxes outside, whether you write checks to the mail. I'm thankful. Whether you're online and giving through that easy method, whether you're texting to giving, thank you. But I believe this church is in a reboot. This church is in a refresh. It's got a letter from Macedonia, and it's saying, hey, you ready to thrive again? Are you ready to thrive again? Are you ready to see like the Macedonian church? Even though they were poor, they became rich in joy. And I believe that he wants you to do that today. I believe if you've been given, like I said, thank you, but I want you to give today like you've never before. If you're earning $10 a day, obviously that equals 70, with 10, whatever that is. It's not a lot of money, but give a portion of what you give. And the way to give, we're going to put the slide up like we normally do. The way to give is easy. Some of you have been texting during the service right now when you checked out when I was walking up the ladder. Text your giving. We've got the screen. We're going to put that up for you now. Text your giving to the church, and there's an option to put up. Even if you put $1 there, you are passionately participating in the church. If you're online, just go to the right there and click give, and you can click to general funds. If you're sitting here in the pew and you have one of those books with checks in them, write a check. Put it in the box at the back. These are the ways to give. You can give here. You can give online. Don't give it to me because I don't know what to do with it. Give via text, 866-GIVE, and you can mail checks into us too. And your giving is so that you will experience joy. Your giving is not so the church looks good in the community, it's so that you will experience joy like never before. Because when we give, when we are having generous giving, we're having generous living. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how you have provided for this church over the 100 or more years that this church has been in existence. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of participating in that. We thank you, Lord, for the many different experiences we've had here over the years. But we pray, Lord, that you would provide for this church. We pray that you would provide and that this church would thrive like the Macedonian church. That it will experience joy like never before. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said, amen.